We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast. The Mark Cox Morning Show.
I want to compliment your show on how fair and level-headed everything you guys talk about.
Who is this guy? He's saying what we've been saying forever.
Maybe what we need from a conservative standpoint is
the Mark Cox Morning Show.
I respect that we don't agree. Listen to both sides.
This,
let's get it on,
is the Mark Cox Morning Show. The Mark Cox Shortlist, brought to you by Eggers Heating and Air Conditioning.
I think impeachment is totally wrong.
He must be impeached.
This marks now the sixth year that they've been going after President Trump and his family.
Let's bring up a vote to expel Ted Cruz and Josh Hawley from the Senate.
CNN can finally take that COVID death ticker off the screen. There's no reason for it now.
Come on, give me a break, man.
Come on, man, give me a break. We heard it again yesterday. That was in response to the question about the 100 million shots that Joe Biden is planning to accomplish, even though we're already on track, thanks to Donald Trump, to accomplish that. Come on, man. Don't give me a hard time. We're working hard here. You can't question those things. What's going on? Hey, glad you're with us. It's Friday. You know, I don't know about you, but I'm about tired of Kevin McCarthy already.
Oh, yeah.
Kevin and Mitch, who were saying something completely different last week compared to what they're saying this week. I have to ask you to play cut number six, please.
Well, I think impeachment is totally wrong. It was purely politically driven. What they were doing on impeachment, when having no committee look at it, no information, and people just vote on this. And now President Trump is a private citizen. Why would you spend your time on this?
Where were you last week, Kevin? Where were you when you were standing up on the floor of the House blaming the president for the very thing they're impeaching him for? We've got to call out these people who said one thing last week and are saying something different this week. Mitch McConnell yesterday said that, we need to slow down. We can't have Joe Biden talking out of both sides of his mouth. I'm sorry, Mitch. I heard what you said in the Senate last week. Everybody heard what you said. You can't have it both ways, and it's one of the things we'll continue to do by calling these folks out on both sides of this. This impeachment's gotten out of hand. And the one thing McCarthy said there is, how can you impeach somebody who's not in office? But they're moving ahead with it regardless. That's kind of what's going on here. Glad you're back with us. A little later this hour, we're going to talk to Ben Brown. I know you remember Ben. I got to meet him over at his restaurant, Satchmo's, when he was one of the few brave small business owners in St. Louis County willing to stand up and say no to the tyrant Sam Page, when he's trying to eliminate some small business owners while allowing others to remain fully in business. I don't know how these folks have survived. I don't know how the people in the restaurant industry have survived. But Ben Brown's been standing up and fighting for his fellow owners, even when some of them wouldn't fight for themselves. And we're going to get him on here at 7:35 this morning. He's been in Jeff City. He's been down there testifying for Andrew Koenig and the other senators, Bob Onder, who are fighting for some common sense when it comes to reining in the power some of these local officials have. And now apparently they're going to request correct me if I'm wrong here, Tricia, the St. Louis City Health Director Eccles to come down and testify, right?
Yes, that is what Denise has been reporting on all morning, and that is what we are going to have Nick Shore on about at 8:35 as well.
He's Nick will come on here and tell us why he wants Dr. Eccles to testify, primarily because now they're going so far as to try to shut businesses down for a full year. I mean, with any belief that that's not just ending their business, period. How can you pay rent and bring in no money for 12 months and stay in business? So we're going to get him on here at around 8:35 and find out what's going on with that. I took the time out, as I normally do in doing show prep for you, to monitor the national media and the way they're dealing with the fallout the first couple of days, bragging about the 29 executive actions that Joe Biden has taken since he became president 2 days ago. 29 of them. A number of them, in my opinion, that will be challenged legally, I believe, killing jobs and randomly raising people's pay rate with no authorization from Congress. These are the kinds of things that are going to be challenged. The way the press briefing room has changed is like somebody opened a door and a bunch of fresh air blew in. Nobody has any questions anymore. The relationship with the media has completely been solved in the White House press briefing room. And we ask Virginia Cruda to join us this morning. Of course, a friend of the program, associate editor at the Daily Caller. Virginia, welcome in. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing.
It's night and day.
It is. And yeah. remember the days, Virginia, during the end of the Obama administration, where for months on end, maybe a couple of years, the man flat out refused to do any interviews unless he knew that the media outlet was going to be completely friendly and sympathetic to his point of view. Donald Trump never did that.
That's interesting that you would bring that up, because they already spoke to Kate Bedingfield yesterday. I can't remember what she was doing, but she was asked, you know, what happens if? Oh, it was on CNN with Allison Camerota.
Yeah,
she was asked if media outlets revert to form and start lying immediately. Now, you know, she didn't. It's code for what happens Fox. If you don't like what they're saying on Fox News. But so will you start denying interviews, et cetera, et cetera? And Kate Bedingfield, the communications director at the White House, made it clear that they're not ruling that out. So I think that we could see that. But what I think, and I'm going to say this because I think we all have to be careful, because, you know, I'm in the media, you're in the media. We have to be very careful, because we know that the national media, the alphabet soup media, is not going to hold this administration to account. They're just not going to. You're going to get questions like, are you changing the color scheme on Air Force One? And, you know, questions like that. Does Biden miss the real campaigning because COVID, you know, all that stuff is what we're going to get from national media. We're going to have to ask the tough questions. And there was a clip circulating yesterday, I don't know if you saw it, of Biden walking past a couple of Marines, and you can hear him talking under his breath, and the caption said that he was just repeating what was in his earpiece, and he said, salute the Marines, and then didn't salute the Marines. And the implication was he was told to salute the Marines in his earpiece, and instead of doing it, he just repeated what he heard, because that's what he's used to doing. Except that's not what he said. What he said was good-looking Marines.
Yes.
But it went viral before somebody corrected that. So we have to be careful on our side not to jump on the viral moment just because it makes Biden look bad without doing the due diligence, because no one else is going to do it. Now, he didn't salute the Marines, and he should have, but that's a different thing. That's not... You know, we can say senile and joke about all that stuff all we want, but it's dangerous to make a diagnosis without being the one who is examining the patient. And we all got mad at people who did that to Donald Trump for 4 years. So,
there's also the easy ones, the low-hanging fruit,
right.
Like Anthony Fauci, who I've said all along is one of the greatest examples of a swamp monster in Washington. He's been in 5 administrations. He's in his 80s. He says he goes along to get along. He says whatever he needs to say to try to make his current boss happy. And yesterday he was smiling like the swamp monster he was as he took swipes at Donald Trump. Go to cut 12.
It was very clear that there were things that were said, be it regarding things like hydroxychloroquine and other things like that, that really was uncomfortable because they were not based on scientific fact. I can tell you, I take no pleasure at all in being in a situation of contradicting the president. So it was really something that you didn't feel that you could actually say something and there wouldn't be any repercussions about it. The idea that you can get up here and talk about what you know, what the evidence, what the science is, and know that's it. Let the science speak. It is somewhat of a liberating feeling. It was very
liberating to be able to have your opinion, Dr. Fauci, in the face of the evidence that the CDC and other doctors groups have now reversed themselves when it comes to the issue of hydroxychloroquine. The president was right all along. You know, there's a doctor down in Jefferson County, Virginia. The local media, the mainstream media, never reported this story. I reported it back in June. He ran a nursing home down there in Festus, had a 100% success rate with elderly COVID patients by treating them early with hydroxychloroquine. He was very clear about the regimen he put them on, 100%. And you look at what happened in New York where old people were dropping like flies in these nursing homes where they were following Anthony Fauci's advice.
Yeah, and well, it's an interesting situation, and you know, while we're talking about media coverage, I don't know if you saw the story last night, but almost nobody else covered, unless to point out that it was a petty question. Fox News correspondent, White House correspondent Peter Ducey, asked Jen Psaki yesterday about the photos of Joe Biden and his family. On federal property without masks, hours after he signed an executive order mandating masks.
Now we've got the sound, Virginia. Let's play it. Cut 8.
Why weren't President Biden and all members of the Biden family masked at all times on federal lands last night if he signed an executive order that mandates masks on federal lands at all times?
At the inaugural
memorial, yes.
I think, Steve, he was celebrating an evening of a historic day in our country. And certainly he signed the mask mandate because it's a way to send a message to the American public about the importance of wearing masks, how it can save tens of thousands of lives.
Rules for me, but not for thee. Or rules for thee, but not for me, right? I said that backwards.
Right. Well, and I would say, one, that was a dumb answer. I mean, first of all, I don't think that, I mean, I realize that the answer that she gave after that, right where you cut off, she goes on to say something about how they take all these other precautions, like everybody's been tested, they're doing social distancing, et cetera, et cetera, and no one's allowed near the president who hasn't been tested and all that. So what's interesting about that is, one, I agree with her. I think that those precautions probably negate the necessity for a mask. Not that I actually think that masks in certain situations are necessary anyway, because he was outside at the Lincoln Memorial. I wouldn't have a problem with her saying that. This is outside. Now, the issue is that he had just issued a mandate, and he spent, the last 10 months on the campaign trail talking about the importance of leaders setting examples because he was mocking Trump for doing the exact same thing. And the answer that she gave, we take other precautions, testing, social distancing. If it sounds familiar, it's because Mark Meadows said it. It's because Donald Trump said it. It's because Kayleigh McEnany said it.
Yeah.
So, and so the fact that she used their exact same excuse regardless of how valid an excuse it is, and then pretended that it's somehow different because now Joe Biden is the one saying it. That's where I have an issue, because it was the exact same excuse.
I said we're going to have to start running, the Ducey segment every day, because it appears that he'll be the only one in these news conferences willing to ask any hard questions. And then we get to listen to Jen Psaki blow him off and explain why his question isn't legitimate.
Did you notice she called him Steve twice?
Yes.
And what's great about that is that Peter Ducey has been the Biden campaign correspondent since the Biden campaign kicked off. So it's not like she doesn't know who he is. This is Peter Ducey has been with
not
campaign
anchor Steve
for two
Ducey.
Years.
Yeah, his son Peter.
2 years.
Oh, yeah. Biden really and dislikes him.
Yeah, well, he did say that one time that Peter Ducey was going to be his running mate, but, you know, that was something else entirely.
True. Very true. Right. Hey, I want to ask you, the Wall Street Journal had a report out earlier this week, Virginia, that the president might be pushing for a third party. I heard Lou Dobbs repeat something yesterday that I had hinted at on the air. But I think he's right on, spot on with this. Go, play cut 21, please.
It's stunning to me that the Republican Party right now doesn't understand the threat that he poses, because I think of those 74 million Americans, if they continue being insulted by both the leadership of both political parties, they're going to say, the hell with you. And the Patriot Party will be born, and it will be born with extraordinary strength and power. You get the last word.
Well, I hope we can stay together as a Republican Party with President Trump as the leader of that party. I think that's what's best for the country. You're exactly right. 75 million people don't like the fact that they're impeaching the president after he's left, and don't like the fact that they're being canceled by the left and not allowed to voice their opinion, make their case, and exercise their free speech rights.
Yeah, I think that's the reckoning, Virginia. Do you agree or disagree?
Right. I would say this. I think that 74 million people did vote for Trump, but I would be cautious in suggesting that 74 million people would leave the Republican Party and become Patriot Party members.
Agreed.
Because there are a lot of people who held their nose and said, this is better than Biden. And so I think that you'd probably lose a healthy chunk, and it would damage the Republican Party for sure. But I don't know that I would say that, okay, well, this is just going to take over. So I think that it's more likely to do serious damage, at least temporarily, to the Republican Party and enable the Democrats than it is to do anything else.
If you lose, you lose 40 million of them, issues. You don't win again.
Right. Right.
You just don't. And that's
if 10 million people get amnesty, you don't win again. So
that's true. There
are any number of issues that we've got going into the next couple of years.
That's a great point. Well, Virginia, I tell you what, always appreciate your insight on this, and we'll always read your great stuff over at the Daily Caller. Thank you so much this morning. We appreciate it.
Sure. Have a good one.
You bet. Virginia Cruda, Associate Editor, Daily Caller, at VA Cruda. If you're still on Twitter there, look her up. And I don't think all of them are going to leave. And I'm not sure a third party is the answer. But my goodness, Mitch, you got to wake up. Kevin McCarthy, you got to wake up and put a stop to this nonsense. No doubt about it. Hey, coming up, Ben Brown is going to join us. Local restaurant owner who's been really fighting hard for his fellow restaurants in St. Louis County and down in Jeff City. We're going to talk to him when we come back.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Hey, glad you're back with us on the Mark Cox Morning Show. If you're on the Facebook page, thank you for that. We've seen a big bump up in the number of people watching the Facebook live feed every morning, and we certainly appreciate you being part of that. People can interact with the show on there. Do me a favor. If you go to the Facebook page, be sure and hit the like button, and that way you're going to get additional notifications when we do take the show live, and we will be able to interact with you in a better way that way. So you know what's going on. Try to keep you up to date, and we'll all get through this together. One person who's been trying to get through this, as have many people who are entrepreneurs and small business owners in the greater St. Louis area, is our friend Benjamin Brown, owner at Satchmo's Bar and Grill over in Chesterfield. Satchmo'sGrill.com is the website. Ben, welcome back to the show.
Good morning, Mark.
Man, you've been a little busy here the last couple of days, burning up the road between here and Jeff City, huh?
Yeah, I went down the other day to testify in support of Senator Kamek's bill, SB 21.
Yeah, and you know, that is an attempt. Senator Koenig announced that, in fact, in front of your restaurant. I was there that day. You know, and at the time, it seemed a long way off. It seemed like, you know, we need immediate relief to this problem, and you still don't have much of that. I'm not blaming Senator Koenig. Don't take that the wrong way. The legislature is doing what it can, but in the meantime, you, as a small business owner, still can't run your business the way you need to make it a success.
You're absolutely right, and relief can't come soon enough for my business and so many others that are just teetering on the edge. There's been just so many blatant displays of bad governance in St. Louis County. Just anyone that's been paying attention, just it's obvious how much is broken. This is just one aspect where I felt like people like myself need to speak up in order to restore any kind of accountability or oversight to our local government.
Well, you know, you tried, along with a handful of others, to defy what they were doing. You know, we seem to have a double standard in this country. If the mainstream media is on board with your efforts as a big business like big tech, they're apparently allowed to do whatever they want indiscriminately with no fear of any government interference in terms of shutting down voices they disagree with. You, as a small business owner, chose to stand up to them, and Sam Page doubled down on your business and several others.
Yeah, and it's frustrating because an important aspect of preserving public health is maintaining the trust between those public health officials and the public they're meant to protect. And you've just seen on all levels of government, there's just been so much breakdown in that public trust, just going back to even last March on the whole mask issue. And then in St. Louis County, it's been just exacerbated, just the way they come out with these arbitrary orders. Meanwhile, they completely directly contradict the information they provide to the public. And as you said, they just, instead of admitting they were wrong and taking responsibility, they doubled down while this order was in effect. You even saw public health officials in neighboring cities that were compelled to speak out in opposition. On December 3rd, Dr. Will Ross, who's the chair of the Board of Health and Hospitals in St. Louis, stated he didn't think it was proper to target restaurants and it wasn't fair and the science didn't support it. Now we have actual data we can look at and compare the rates of transmission in St. Louis County versus other areas whose restaurants remained open. We can see that it posed no benefit to public health, but the destruction that it caused is very real. And unfortunately, a lot of businesses are gone and they're never coming back.
No. Ben Brown is my guest, with owner of a Satchmo's restaurant. Maybe I can get you to expand on that. Let's take me back to, from the time you were first ordered to shut your doors for a second round to now. You've talked to other business owners. How in the world, with even the 25% capacity they've now thrown to you as a bone, so to speak, How in the world can you pay your electric bill and your heating bill and those few employees that you can now afford to bring back into the restaurant when you're only allowed to take in 25% of your normal revenue?
Yeah, I mean, it's certainly not sustainable. You certainly can't profit anywhere near 25% or even 50% capacity.
No.
Essentially, we're fighting for the right to increase our capacity to still operate at a loss just to be able to keep more of our staff working. And that's what it's really about. It's nobody's making money right now. It's about the single parent who has their income suddenly stripped from them. That's their only means of putting food on the table and paying a mortgage. We have a lot of college students in our industry that are just living paycheck to paycheck. And when they hand down an arbitrary order like this, I mean, it's just, you can't really describe the level of destruction that it causes to people's lives.
So Ben, where do you see the most direct answer to this problem? Do you think it's going to come from what the legislature is trying to do? Are you encouraged by what's going on at the county council level where they're trying to, you know, remove Lisa Clancy, who's basically the mouthpiece for Sam Page on the county council level by giving him free rein? Or are you still encouraging the governor to get involved here and take some sort of, quicker action that might get you some relief?
You know, I watch a lot of the county council live streams, and a lot of what I saw leading up to the end of the year was very discouraging. But I have to say, it's really been inspiring just the last couple of weeks, seeing the way that you have a diverse coalition, a bipartisan coalition of officials like Tim Fitch, Carter, Rita Days, just coming together, and, you know, they're standing up for what's right. I think that our government, our country would be in a lot better place if you saw more people prioritizing, uniting behind what they believe is right and putting that ahead of, you know, their own party's agenda. And it's just, yeah, I can't speak to that enough, just, you know, how encouraging that is to see.
Well, you know, I've had the governor on here on a number of occasions, and I flat out told him the last time, you could fix this tomorrow, and he's been hesitant to do that. So it looks to me like the answer will ultimately come from either what Nick Schroer in the House or Andrew Koenig in the Senate are trying to do, or maybe from our county council when we can finally get these burdens eased a little bit on you small business owners. And I know there's another hearing coming up in the House this time on the 26th. Are you going back down to Jeff City next week?
Oh, yeah, I do plan on going back down to testify. And just to speak to what you were mentioning before with the governor, I have a lot of respect for the fact that, you know, under pressure, he's maintained the policy that's set forth to allow local governments to have that control. Right. However, the point I would make is that what we see right now, this isn't local control. Local control has been replaced with one-man rule. Local control would mean the normal legislative process is laid out in the county statutes, which is that the health officials, the directors of health, can recommend health policies, but the responsibility ultimately lies with the council to vote and enact those. That's being usurped by utilizing a state statute, ironically. So they're using a state statute to overstep local control. So that's the argument I would make to the governor.
That's a great point, and I'm glad that you brought that up. We'll hopefully we can get some answers. We're going to get Nick Schroer on coming up in the next hour to talk more about the hearing he's planning for next week. He's going to ask the St. Louis Health Director, Dr. Eccles, to come down and testify in Jeff City as well. So we'll look forward to that. Ben, anything we can do, we're always here for you. Let us know. I'll direct people to SatchmosGrill.com and encourage people to go spend their money locally and try to help you small business owners and restaurant owners as much as possible.
Thank you so much, Mark.
Yep, we will talk soon. Ben Brown there, owner at Satchmo's Bar and Grill out in Chesterfield. If you're going to go out to eat, if you're going to order out, keep them in mind and the other restaurants that have been impacted so much by all of this. Quick break, 314-241-9797.
You USO salute on the Mark Cox Morning Show.
And salute them we will. All this month, our friends at the USO do such a good job for the members of our military, from home loans to Thanksgiving dinner. You can't say it enough. It's a lot more than just what we talk to you about at Lambert Airport every year. If you want to volunteer, you want to donate, they do all of this through donations, through volunteers, and they could certainly use your help. There's certainly ways you can give back even during the middle of some of the restrictions we're under right now. Go to usomissouri.org or 971talk.com/USO salute and do what you can. Give back to them a little bit, and they will thank you for it in so many ways. So many ways. We appreciate the military. That's why it sickened me to see how they treated them up in D.C., the last couple days.
Sure.
They fixed it this morning. In case you saw
after
that story.
After the pictures got released.
Yes, thank you. Once the story got out there, a number of people stepped forward, including even Tammy Duckworth over here in Illinois, who addressed this situation. The guard members had been allowed to stay in a portion of the Capitol building, where it was warm and they had access to bathrooms and all that. And then suddenly they were dismissed to a parking garage with only like one bathroom for hundreds, maybe thousands of men and women. And once this was realized, it was corrected, not before some governors like Abbott down in Texas ordered his crews to come back. He's like, we're not, you know, you don't have to put up with this. We're just going to bring it back home.
Yeah, I'm not sure who made that call.
I was thinking the same thing.
I mean, other than the fact that it's disgusting and disrespectful, that is a PR nightmare. That is, there's yeah. optically no way that's going to look good for you on
who
day
made that
two.
Call?
Of, yeah.
Yeah.
We needed Big you dummy. For the optics of Election Day. You are now no longer needed. Please get out of our sight. Apparently, it was a Capitol, somebody at the Capitol Police Department made the initial call.
Yeah, it was a bad one.
Not good. Not a mm-hmm. good look. There were other videos floating around, and you know, we just talked about this with Virginia. You got to be sure and vet these things. But mm-hmm. I did see a couple of pictures that seemed to show some members of the Guard turning their back on Joe Biden's motorcade as it drove by after the inauguration was over. And there was a suggestion that some of what happened to the other Guard troops was blowback for that. I've not seen any evidence of that at all. I mean, I don't know that the two are related. I don't doubt that there were some Guard members there from certain states who might have done that. I don't know if they did or not in terms of turning their back on the motorcade. But there's no evidence that what happened to the troops in the parking garage had anything to do with that. So just check your news sources, and you know, there's plenty to be outraged over these days. We don't have to manufacture things to do it. I'm just saying, just going to throw that out
there. Cautionary advice.
Jim Carafano is coming up. Anxious to hear what he's got to say. You know, among the things that the new president's done the last couple of days is tweaked our relationship on a treaty with Canada. These tweaked our relationship with a treaty on Russia when it comes to nuclear missiles and a START treaty, China. He's doing a reset everywhere. Good, bad, I don't know. I'll bet Jim Carafano does, though, because he's one of the leading foreign policy experts in the country when it comes to those issues. We're going to talk to him and State Representative Nick Schroer at about 8:35. 314-241-9797.
Get more at 971talk.com.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL Draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.